everyone. Welcome to Band of Family Chats. I'm your host, Jeanette, and today I'm joined by Maureen.
Hello.
Tiffany.
Hello.
And our very special guest star that we're so excited about, Chase Coleman, who played Oliver on the originals.
Hi. Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So your character on the originals, tell us a little bit about his character.
Yeah, headstrong, stubborn. So Oliver started out as this very headstrong, maybe not so likable, asshole-ish werewolf, was part of the Crescent Clan. He and Jackson, brothers/best friends, you know, were at odds on how they should lead the pack, where the pack was going to go, you know, should they ally with the vampires, should they not? And he felt very differently than what Jackson did. And so throughout the show, without trying, I mean, the show's been out so long now. Mm-hmm. If you haven't watched it and you're watching this interview, something's wrong with you. No, just kidding. Nothing's wrong with you. You guys are amazing and special. No, please watch the originals if you haven't. I'm going to try not to ruin it. But, you know, he goes through, he commits some terroristic acts, some things that are not, you know, were probably not the best choice. But eventually, you know, when it comes, when he gets through all this, he kind of comes around on another side and rejoins the light side, and then sacrifices himself. Mm-hmm. So he gets to kind of have a fun, not fun, but a nice celebratory Braveheart style going out. You know?
Oh, Braveheart, though, with the makeup and everything.
Well, you know what? They told me, listen, it's funny because Braveheart's my favorite movie ever.
Mine too.
I almost wonder, oh, nice. And I almost wonder if they knew this, because when they told me about the death, when I was on set, it's like, hey, you know, so this is what's going to happen. I'm like, oh, okay. It's like, but don't worry. It's going to be like this awesome Braveheart thing and all of that. I'm like, yeah, cool. But anyways, sorry, I don't know if I can curse on this. I just realized that you might get blipped that out, I guess.
Yeah.
But, anyways. Yeah. So yeah, you know, we had back to the point of who Oliver was. Yeah. You know, he started out as this very kind of stubborn, headstrong, stuck in his own ways, very non-open sort of character, but who eventually through experience and trial, you know, came to the other side and became good.
Yeah.
Is that what you guys remember?
Yes. Well, see, I remember. Yeah. I haven't gotten very far in the originals yet.
It was. Did I ruin it?
No, okay. I like the information.
You like spoilers, either way. Yeah.
I need the information. But I came to the originals because I liked the sort of the history and the background that you get when the cast of the originals is on Vampire Diaries. I liked what that was brought in. And I'm seeing as I watch this show that there's a lot of arcs that are really redemptive. And there's a lot of information that's in there that can be, I think this is gonna sound cheesy. My daughter's new thing to say is that's so cheesy, I can smell it. So it's kind of like that, but there's a lot that you can apply to everyday life in that show. Like what you were saying with the werewolf, how he goes through trial and learning things, you recognize what's really important. And I like that about the show.
Yeah. I definitely love how they intertwine and obviously it's the spinoff, you know, the three spinoffs, you know, but I really do like how they intertwine. And like you just said, they'll continue character arcs from years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Klaus and Caroline, you know, that kind of stuff. It's like, you know, getting to kind of see that relationship. Oh, what's going on down here? You know, are you not a Klaus Caroline fan, or are you a Klaus Caroline fan?
Are you talking to
Tiffany?
Tiffany. I saw Tiffany's eyes go up when I mentioned Klaus and Caroline. So I was wondering if maybe she was like, oh, I don't know about that.
I think she is.
I'm not a Klaus and Caroline.
You're not. Yeah, no. Can't do it.
See, I'm not.
Well, I just, despite that, you are.
Jeanette? I am not either. You're I was not, trying to okay. hide my face. I'm much more.
I am.
Tammy, so.
I like Klaus and Caroline. Yeah.
I just like that they will bring that in and cross it over and use those arcs, bring in people, you know, stuff. That's cool. That's fun stuff.
Yeah.
So what would, like, can you tell us some time, like, about your, like, time on set, and if you had, like, you know, any favorite memories from there?
I mean, it's that whole portion of my life is like this fun bubble of like exhilarating experiences. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All the people getting, gosh, even like, you know, it's a whirlwind because of all the things that occurred. So I was there for a very long time, and there was some back and forth from LA to Atlanta. You know, but then when I was in Atlanta, I would be there for like, you know, 3 or 4 weeks at a time. And then I go back for a few days and I go back. So it's it's a whirlwind of like your life changing and changing time zones and all this. But when we're on set, it was just so funny coming in to see this familial relationship they had, like Daniel and Joseph, and how they would literally compete over parking spots all the time. It was so funny. Like every day I think I'd arrive on set, you know, Daniel, I think he drove this big Jeep at that time. And I don't remember what Joseph drove something else, but they would always be like taking somebody's sign and putting it over here, where he'd literally park in both of the spots. Like he'd pull his car over so that Joseph could not park at all. And it's like just stuff like that. Or then like even being on set, Daniel's the funniest guy. Anytime you're going to ask me like, who's your favorite guy? Who's the funniest? It's going to be Daniel Gillies. Cause he's just, he's continuously cracking people up on set. Cause there's this one time where we had this whole scene where we were discussing about going and saving the young wolves. We had to go save the young werewolves. And there was, everybody was there. It was Marcel. And then Steven Kruger was there. My mind right now literally bounces between character names and actor names so much. Sometimes we might say an actor name. And then okay. So it's like Charles and then Elijah and then Klaus.
We're following. But, so it's all good.
Everybody was there. And I just remember we had so much dialogue and a lot of coverage. And I remember Daniel just cracking jokes and just making funny stuff when he'd be off camera. And it'd just be so, it would be a funny struggle, like trying, because it's a serious scene. You're not supposed to be laughing or smiling. And just Daniel, like making you crack up off camera. It's just like, stop. Stuff like that, you know, it's just, I'm going to miss that stuff. It's fun. Miss, hopefully I get to work with these guys again one day, you know. That was a lot of fun. That familial aspect, that's the greatest thing about this cast that I loved. They really bring you in, invite you out, include you, you know.
You know, it's funny you say that, because we have gotten, since we watched The Vampire Diaries and the originals, now when we watch a show and someone is killed off, like what if I need a spoiler, my response is, are they just dead for now? Like that's the Vampire Diaries and the originals have trained us to ask.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There is still a chance that you could come back in this universe, right?
People said that years ago. I mean, people still want to say that. I would always love to say that anything is possible. You know, there's always probability and possibility. You know, mm-hmm. Probability is probably very low. Possibility is always going to be there. But, you know, all we have is legacies now. So whatever kind of legacies, crossovers that are occurring, you know, not sure how much Oliver would fit into that at this point. I don't know. I'm not sure.
We can make Oliver fit.
Okay, let's do it. Right, Julie. Right, Julie. Play. Let's go.
Yes. And
Hashtag, we want Ollie back.
Yes.
Save Ollie.
Okay. Yes.
Did you guys ever see that Comic-Con video? Somebody shared that with me. A couple years ago, they were all at Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, I think, and somebody asked Joseph that question. He's like, if you could ever play any other character in the show, who would it be and why? You know, and, you know, you go down the list and then you got to Joseph and he's thinking for a moment, he's very pensive. And he's like, I think, you know, if I could play any other character in the show, it would be Oliver. And I think he should be brought back because he was probably one of the best characters we had. Hashtag save Ollie. People thought it was absolutely hilarious. Julie thought it was hilarious. It was the most random thing in the world. But yeah. Hashtag save Ollie. Hashtag we want Ollie back. Yeah. It works for me.
We're going to bring them back on all of our social platforms.
Yeah, gotta get trending.
We're going to, Jeanette, she runs our TikTok account. We're going to have her do a whole bunch of just all of her videos repeat constantly. Nice.
You know, I actually am needing, I'm doing more of my TikTok. I haven't done anything really on TikTok. At first I was like, oh, let me release old auditions or something. And then I met with my friend Sam. She's got like 30K followers and she's been like addicted to it. She's like, don't do that. Nobody wants to see that shit, blah, blah, blah. She's like, no, do this, do that. So we're going to like, when I get back from all this traveling, all these conventions, I'm going to get back and I'm going to actually start putting in more effort and doing sketches and things, doing some other creative things. And I've thought about going back and trying to like do some funny stuff from the originals. Like, yes. I don't have my hair anymore, you know? It's like, maybe I could just go get like a wig and just put it on my head and just pretend, you know, and do my old line. I don't know. Yes. Just trying to think of funny stuff. You just
we said would TikTok. Watch that.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you said you're traveling for conventions and stuff, and I see that there's a lot of musical instruments behind you. So, are you a singer-songwriter? Are you in a band, or you just play for fun?
So yeah, I have my band. I call it. It's changed a lot over the years. For me, it's just me. I have Mercy Mode, which is my band, which is just me. We have changed members. We've changed a few members over the years here and there. It's gotten to the point where it's just me making all the music and everything, and I'm just hiring the musicians. Even though it's, you know, I'm still labeled as Mercy Mode. There's been a lot of discussion recently with my reps and stuff, with my manager, et cetera, about rebranding and stuff. But yeah, I've been playing music for, in fact, I've been a musician longer than I've been an actor.
Really? Yeah, how did you get started in that?
I was 16 years old and I was in Destin, Florida. And my friend Carolyn Scalfano had her little acoustic guitar and we were on the beach and she was like playing this cool song. And she was like, you should just sing, just try it, just sing. And so I did. And then I remember from that point forward, then I went back, that was in high school, obviously 16. And then I went back to school that next year. And I remember like overhearing like these guys talking about this band stuff and like, da, 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 singer. And I'm like, I can sing. And then we started doing our little high school music stuff. And then I did that all through college. And then got a little tired of other bandmates not really kind of caring about what we're doing, not wanting to pay for a rehearsal space, not wanting to rehearse, whatever. So I'm like, you know what? Screw this, man. I need a break. So I'd always been interested in the theater for the longest time. I'd been doing talent shows. I mean, I was a performer already. Had I really acted in anything yet? No, not really. But I went in and started doing that local community theater in Monroe, Louisiana. But I always kept playing music. You know, eventually I moved to New York, you know, and then I moved to LA, obviously, which is where I am now. But over the years throughout New York, you know, I would play a little acoustic stuff here and there, but I stopped writing. You know, I didn't do any writing for a while, just focused on the acting, did really, really well, you know, and then moved out here to LA, got on the originals, did the convention, which I think was in New Jersey in 2014, maybe.
Okay.
I think that was 2014. And I sang Smells Like Teen Spirit for karaoke.
That's awesome. Good
one. People went a little crazy. So then it kind of like created this whole, I kind of felt this demand, you know, people were like more and more and more. Mm-hmm. And people were like, why aren't you writing? Why aren't you doing that? My mind was like, Jared Leto has always been kind of an inspiration for me as an actor and a musician. I love his career. You know? Yeah. I really love his career. I've been a huge fan of 30 Seconds to Mars for a long time. Now, I'm going to be honest, like, I'm not a huge fan of their most recent stuff. They've really transitioned into more of a poppy sound and they've lost a lot of their rock feel. So, I mean, I don't love them as much as I really did. Like, I'm really into a lot of their earlier stuff, but in the sense of what he has done as an actor and a musician, that is a perfect example of something I am also working on. I'm designing, you know, that's what I would love to do. So, you know, I feel that in order to do that, I obviously at that point in time, I was like, you know, the only way you're ever gonna succeed or make something happen is by putting effort into it. You have to do it. So, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. I started doing it. I started picking it up more and I wrote this and that. And then luckily I met this. It's so funny how things will happen when you put energy into something, right? And the universe responds back to you. It's like, I started doing all this and then I got on the set. I did this movie called The Time Capsule. Where I played this drummer, funny enough. And I didn't play drums at all. I like kind of figured out drums for the thing. Like I could play drums, but I'm not like a badass drummer.
Yeah.
They're going to probably dub over the drum sound. But I did all that, you know, and the guy who I was with, he was in the band in the film. He played the singer in the film, was a producer who then helped me. We got together, became good friends. And I produced and did my four songs that are out right now on Amazon and Google Play, or not Google Play anymore, YouTube Music, you know, and everything. iTunes, go check it out. Mercy Mode, just go type it in. And I have four songs out that I will be performing at the convention, that I am now performing at all the conventions. And so now, yeah, like back to your questions, like, you know, are you a musician? Do you have a thing? Yeah, like it's really, honestly, and even because of the pandemic, acting has not been at all. You know, it's just been very non-existent. There's nothing happening. Now it's been warming up. I've been getting some auditions and things, but it is pretty frustrating. And so it's forced me to kind of get here in my studio I've created in this bedroom, you know, to like, and I've been recording music and playing and rehearsing. And so now, they hire me for the conventions to do all the music stuff and stuff. So I'll be playing at the concert on Saturday and I'm going to be playing throughout the day. I've got this acoustic show I'm doing on Saturday, early afternoon, stuff like that. So all kinds of music stuff.
Awesome.
I want to go look that stuff up now.
Yeah.
I'm writing stuff down. My husband is a musician and he has his own home studio and he has to do all of his own drums. And
so you understand.
Yeah.
It's definitely been an interesting experience of forced, it's either do or die. I don't know. It's like, you can just sit around and just wait or do something. So I've been producing and making tracks. I'm going to be playing them at the show and everything, you know, at the convention. I'm very excited about it.
So. It had to be a nice outlet for someone who is so creative to do during lockdown when you all of your creative powers are almost taken from you. It's nice to have that place where you're supposed to be, where you can have that outlet for creativity.
I'm just grateful that I have been able to provide myself with all the support I've had from everyone over the years. That includes all of my friends, my family, the people that have hired me. Luckily, I am now in a position to where during the pandemic, I had access to shit that I could do that. I'm so grateful I did. Because like you just said, if I didn't, you know, I'd lose my mind.
Yeah. No, that's where the rest of us were at. We didn't have as creative of a talent. I hear wine got a lot of people through. I don't know.
Wine and lots of Netflix. Right?
Yes, lots of Netflix. Definitely. Do you stay in contact with any of your co-stars from the originals?
Yes, I literally just ran into Daniel Gillies 3 or 4 nights ago at a party here in LA. We said hello and hugged, and it was like, oh, look, you're coming now, blah, 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 you know, because people were canceling the events and stuff, you know, so he's going to be coming. And then I messaged him after, you know, we were potentially going to get lunch, you know, after the shows and stuff, me and Daniel. I mean, I've talked to Charles a few times. We don't keep in touch regularly. I've run into Zach and messaged Zach, like me and Zach have auditioned for some stuff, some of the same stuff. I've run into Michael Trevino before. I've run into Stephen McQueen. Like I've run into everybody and texted everybody many times. Cause it's funny for this huge industry. It's still a small world. Like I've run into so many people that I know in audition rooms and stuff, because at the end of the day, when you get to a certain point, you're all going out for the same show. You're all going to keep seeing each other. You're all going to be there. You're all going to keep, that's just the way it starts happening. I've fallen out of touch with some and then randomly connected with others again. You know, there's all kind of like Yusuf Gatewood, who I think hates the cons and stuff. I was in touch with him for a good day. I haven't talked to him a little bit though. He moved and I didn't think he stopped acting. He did. I think Yusuf was, I saw him out again, like I randomly ran into him at some concert. I think I was seeing Borns. You guys know that artist, Borns? Ever heard of him before? No,
I haven't.
It's really good. Look at that.
Borns.
Yeah. And then Twin Shadow was opening for him. I'm not sure if you guys know that as a smaller names. But anyways, I was going to the concert and just again, Yusuf? That's like thousands of people. Like, how am I gonna see you here? And he was telling me, he's like, dude, I live in North Carolina now or wherever he moved. I'm like, what? Really? But yeah, the answer to your question is yes, there are. Scattered, but yes, lots of them. David Alpe, you know, Chris Brochu. I mean, I've not really, let's see. I don't know. Yeah.
And I suppose when you're a part of a fandom like this where everyone is family, it also creates a different sort of a level of friendship that you don't get on regular.
We get to keep seeing each other at these shows, like at these weekends. Like it's almost like a traveling circus, you know, like we get to go. We go like, especially in the international, like we go over to Europe or we go to Rome and then like, hey, I see you in Barcelona next week. Yep. See you there. Nice. All right. I got a week off, but I'll see you in Paris that next. Like, yep. I'll see you there. You know, it's like that, you know, it's like, but then we take a break off, and then we run back in over and over and over. And that's honestly even helped sustain a lot of stuff. Cause you know, when you're not, I haven't been on set in years. Mm-hmm. Now, nobody's on set now. Nobody's on set now.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like, well, even when they were still going, you know, and I was off for a good bit and I was doing a lot of these shows everywhere. It was really cool. It's just like, it's like a little reunion, you know, it's so fun. You're like, oh my God, have you been? Da, da, da. And even better is you get to be like in this foreign, cool place together too. So,
yeah, that's what I was thinking when you were saying all the different countries. I'd love to say that to a friend.
So as far as your character Oliver goes, what were some challenges as far as playing that role? Do you have things in common with him as far as personality traits or?
Well, yeah, I definitely have things in common. You know, I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to go off and bomb someplace. I'm not going to do that, but I can 100% understand and even agree with him on his friction that he feels, the passion that he feels regarding how protective he is over the people he cares about. And the ones that he loves, you know, it's like when you're asked to do a role and you know it's like gonna go down a path that's can be considered bad or evil or something. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, if I got asked to play Adolf Hitler, you know, you got to find, like, you got to look into the character and figure out, like, because you can't go in there judging them, being like, this guy's a asshole. This guy's, sorry, you can blip it out. This guy's an asshole, whatever. This guy's this, whatever, whatever. He's like, write down the time he said that. You got to find, you got to figure out where in their brain they maybe had, they found the, their justification for whatever it is they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how far-fetched it might seem, you got to find a root somewhere. And then you got to live in that. And so, like, for him to make these decisions and do these things, I had to find within Chase, like, you know, why would, what could cause Chase to maybe feel this strongly about something to where he would even consider doing something like that, where that would even cross his mind, you know what I mean? Like, never, ever to carry something like that. But, you know, we would all be liars if we say we haven't thought something slightly violent before about somebody else that pissed us off so bad. I'm like, I want to kill you. You know, you say that, you're not going to kill somebody, but you get what I'm saying. It's like, really feel that and then connect it, but then actually carry that out. You got to really connect those things, at least for me and what I believe, so that you can have an authentic, truthful, you know, what feels to be real circumstance.
Yeah. You know? I will say that I'm usually the one who makes those statements on the podcast, and our team has to put out a PSA that I'm not actually going to go out and kill anybody or punch anyone in the throat.
Right, yeah. You should do that for me on this one. Chase is not violent. He does not plan to do it.
I was watching an interview with an actor, and he was playing a character that was, it was based on a true story. And I've been bringing this up a lot lately in our podcast, but he plays an actor that's not, or a character that's not well-liked, that it was, he was a religious zealot who was running a cult, and he was terrible. But he had said in an interview that if I don't make you like that guy a little bit, then I'm not really doing my job. Because when you, if you as a normal human being who's not homicidal and psychotic, if you can relate to this person and inject some of yourself in them, then that person's going to be at least a little bit likable and redeemable, even if they're a terrible person.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
You have another question, ladies?
Yeah. So, I mean, of all the different projects that you've done, you know, not just the originals, do you have like a favorite that you've ever done, or is it the originals?
You know, I would say I loved the originals. The originals is probably the biggest thing I've done. It really allowed a whole transition for my career. It was, it was a break for me. I have not had my big break yet that you would consider that would put me in a space of, you know, the big break puts you in the A-list category.
Okay.
What I'm saying. You know, when Chris Hemsworth got Thor, you know, he became A-list. Right. You know what I'm saying? When Chris Evans got Captain America, he became, you know, and so it's like, I've auditioned for stuff like that, but I have not had my big break. Now, there have been many jobs over the years that have been breaks, especially for me in the sense of as an actor and how much I've learned. And the one I always go to, as soon as you said that, there's always a project that pops up, and it's Boardwalk Empire. Boardwalk Empire. And I got to work with Martin Scorsese on the pilot. I'm not afraid to name drop. That guy is amazing. He's truly a legend, you know. And I, you know, it was funny because back then I was like 24, 23 or something, 22. I don't know, man. I was so young, you know, and I didn't even quite get what was going on back then. But when you grow older and you think back, you're like, oh my God, you're so stupid. If you only knew how important that was. Not that I did anything wrong. You know, I didn't mess anything up. I think I did a fine job, you know, but it's like, you know what I mean? Like, you're reminiscing and remembering. And the thing I might be the most proud of was that I got to work with him and I got to do that. You know, I got to do 3 episodes on Boardwalk Empire with Martin Scorsese. I got to play this really cool character, 20s period based mafia.
Yeah.
So cool. Met a lot of amazingly, worked with Michael Shannon, you know, like that's awesome.
Yeah.
He's an Oscar winner.
Yes.
As a Scorsese. So, you know, it's like, I get to say like, yes, I've worked with these two, you know, that's fucking cool. So, bleep, sorry. But, you know, so yeah, probably that. But the originals definitely, the originals is probably one of my biggest projects and I had such a blast on. It's probably one of my favorites too. It really is. Love. Yeah, definitely.
So you've mentioned conventions a couple of times. Like, what are the conventions that you're performing in that you're doing, taking part in?
So Creation Entertainment, they do these Vampire Diaries and the Originals conventions where all the actors are out. Yeah. I'm a little surprised you guys have not heard of these yet.
No.
They've been going on for, you know, I said I went in 2014 and they were doing before that.
Really? So,
yes. They're huge. I've
heard of them. They just don't ever come close to me because I live in Kentucky. So
I'm in Wisconsin, so there's like nothing else that comes up.
Well, we have one in New Jersey this coming weekend, which is the New York one. It's in Whippy, New Jersey, and then they have one in Chicago in a few weeks. Yep. You should come.
I'm in Wisconsin. I can go to the Chicago one.
Yeah. I knew I thought of Chicago when you said Wisconsin, but you know, and this is where, again, I was explaining earlier in my mind these days, it's funny you guys have said this because I almost have I kind of assume most people know because it has been so long. Mm-hmm. I'm a little surprised you guys don't. So then let me explain a little more. Yeah. So I've been going on and doing these performances, like even since I was on the show, which has been a long time, you know, so like, and it's been nonstop. A pandemic slowed everything down and even the US ones have really dwindled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they're doing three potentially next year. I'm not gonna say anything about that because I don't think I was supposed to say that. But they're doing potentially three more yesterday. You know, another new location they're gonna talk about that is closer to you, Jeanette. By the way, next year.
Oh,
that's exciting. Not gonna say because people will freak if they're like, "What?" But
I'll keep my eyes out on that.
It's like, you know, like they had Ian and Paul. They were gonna go, and then but they just canceled, unfortunately. But they have Daniel, he'll be there. Matt Davis will be there. Charles Michael Davis will be there. I'll be there. Micah, Chris Brochu, Riley will be there. You know, Freya.
Mm-hmm.
They keep Michael Malarkey will be there. Yeah, they change a lot because people cancel and this and that.
Yeah.
But then there are others as well for Chicago. I don't know if it's the same for Chicago.
And I'm then looking it up right now.
Yeah, look. Listen, if you go to Google and type creation TVD,
okay.
It'll be the first thing. It'll be the very first thing. There's only one company in the U.S. that does these vampire ones, like for real, mm-hmm. the official ones, and it's Creation. It's like a super awesome. And these are the guys that do like the giant Star Trek conventions and
Vegas.
Like they do that.
So they know what they're doing.
They've got a Game of Thrones convention they're doing next year.
Well, I like that too.
I think that one's in Vegas, maybe. So it's like, and they've got like, you know, supposedly Kit Harington and Emilia Clarke going. Like, I think they were going to do a Walking Dead one, but then the pandemic screwed it all up.
Yeah.
And they had Norman Reedus, you know, so this is like the caliber of these events. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And you go and, you know, and I don't know if you guys have seen or been to a Comic-Con before, but you go and like mm-hmm. the actors will do a panel, like a Q&A, mm-hmm. you know, and they'll, you know, people can ask questions and you talk and then they'll have photo ops, you know, and then you have autograph sessions and stuff and they have other activities and things like they have game nights, you know, and then they have the concert, you know, which you can come see us, but they have karaoke on Friday. And they have an acoustic jam, which will be just me playing with all my crazy stuff, you know, doing my music stuff and stuff like that. All kinds of stuff. It's a lot of fun.
That's will awesome. You be at the Chicago one?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Yes, I will. And I'm like, there are people like this is almost like a summer camp for people. There are people that have been going to these for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they like, this is what they do. Like they save their money and then they go to these conventions, you know, like this is what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So there are like some diehards, some diehard fans. And then there are those that are like, this is my first time. This is so cool or whatever, et cetera. So it's like, it's quite a world. It is quite a world.
Awesome. There's a lot there. Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I can't believe I've never heard of this before. I'm disappointed in myself a little bit.
Maybe I'll see you in Chicago.
Yes, I'm thinking about it. I think maybe I can convince some of these girls to come up.
Maybe, yeah.
Chicago, it's just a 9-hour drive from me. I could make that. Yeah.
I'm pretty close to Jersey. I've only got a 3-hour drive. So
I saw you looking earlier. I saw your face and I was saying Jersey's like, oh, she's thinking about it.
I'm in Pennsylvania, so I am pretty close.
Oh, that's super close. Yeah.
I need to cancel my weekend plans now.
Yeah. I'm trying to work a way that I could make it there.
Make it happen.
So do you have a favorite way to play your music? Do you prefer acoustic set or do you prefer plugged in, all mic'd up?
You know, acoustic, it's very easy to control everything more. When you got everything plugged in and a lot's going on, it's like shit can really get out of hand quick if you're not really on your stuff. Doesn't mean I like one more or the other. I don't know. I think I prefer the full band setup to show people because it's like it's the final product, what's in my mind. Like, this is how I want it to sound. If I played acoustically, you're only hearing my acoustic version. You're not hearing like all the synth and all this everything, all the fun mm-hmm. stuff, bells and whistles.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, when you play a well, what it used to be, when you play a full band, it's just expensive. You know, when you have multiple band members and multiple all these instruments and all this back line, adds up.
Yeah.
When you have an acoustic guitar, it's like, here's my guitar. And I mean, sometimes you just, that's all you need, right? That's all I need. So
yeah.
A lot of times the acoustic is just the way to go for the sense of just being, you know, efficient.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could choose, I would love to have the ability at any point to just be able to have a full band setup, show you the full shebang.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be cool if they just follow behind you, like in a line wherever you went. So you can just say, stop, we're going to play right here. We're going to go. And then everyone can set up right there.
I've been working on that. Yeah.
Yeah. How's it working out for you?
Not very well. Nobody really wants to do that.
So what is it you love about being at these conventions, aside from being able to play your music and show your craft? Like, what is it that you love about being in these conventions? What is it like there?
Just being able to be in front of and connect in person and look in the eyes and experience that enthusiasm and passion that these people have had for something that I've been a part of, something that it's like when people come to like, I hated you so much in the beginning, but when you died, I cried so bad. And that makes me be like, oh, I love that. I love that you went on that journey and you're telling me about it. It's a feeling that's different from anything else.
Mm-hmm.
A long, long time ago, I'm going to give you a mutual experience I had a long, long time ago before the originals, before I even lived in LA, when I lived in New York. I produced, directed, wrote, acted in this short film. It's called Into the Rose Garden. Okay. I think it's on YouTube if you look at it. But I remember when I screened it and I invited all the people, you know, and everybody was asking questions at the end for the Q&A. The feeling I felt when people were responding to me being like, so when I saw this or when I saw that, or I loved this and I loved that, there's some feeling you get where it's like, I created this and I've affected you. And now magic has happened. It's like magic, you know? And it's like something that you don't really get to get unless you get to be in front of that person and you get to feel that gratitude. You get to feel that enthusiasm. I love that so much. It's addicting. It's like, oh my God, I want to be around this all the time. These guys are speaking, everybody's so great. It's fun to just get to be around everybody and see everybody's passion around. And then of course, yes, get to play the music. I love to get to show people all my other stuff that you don't get to see because, you know, it's like, I don't have as big of a platform for the music as obviously as the acting has been.
Yeah.
You know, I'm using this platform for these appearances and for my acting to push my music more, to allow people to see more of my music stuff. And it's been great.
That's an awesome platform. I love that you get to be able to do that. And we've actually talked to a lot of people who have been able to do multifaceted things like this. They're not just an actor. They're also an actor. And a lot of them are musicians or writers. We talked to a lot of people who have said, you know, well, I'm writing this book too, or I'm writing the screenplay too. And it's really, I like talking with creative people like you who really have this desire to, it's not about you necessarily. You just have this desire to show people different perspectives and this desire to show things that you can be and that you can do. I think that's so interesting to be able to do that. How often outside of these conventions do you have the ability or the stage to be able to do that?
It's really difficult to say because we've had such a long period where nothing has been happening. I'm trying to think of before
that. That's true. That was like, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah. No, really, it has.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then before that, no, it was difficult then because then I was just extremely busy with lots of appearances, which I was using for all the band stuff. But then when I'd be home, you know, doing the acting, like, no, the only easy way, because it, again, like to go on a tour, and it costs money. You know, I did that. I would go and do the conventions in Europe and I'd do like Rome, London, and then Barcelona or whatever it was. And then I'd do like, you know, let me hop over to Paris and do a concert in Paris. Let me hop over, you know, to Brussels and do a concert in Brussels. And then I'm going to do concerts here as well, all through here. So it's like, I'm staying extra weeks. So it's like, you know, I'm planning out this whole thing around this. It's an exhausting trip where I'm in Europe for maybe a month and I'm traveling and going, you know, through trains and whatever flights or whatever it might be, hauling my shit around and playing the concerts, trying to basically use these conventions. Cause you know, a European ticket's extremely expensive. You get what I'm saying? So it's like planning out a tour is expensive. To do it on my own without a label, without someone that is financing or producing that, it's a lot. It's a lot. You know, I've already been putting in everything else to become and to present the music. And this is not even like what's making me my bread and butter to stay alive. Acting is that. So I can't ignore that. I have agents that have in the past been like, you know, I want you to, you know, whatever, like, hey, be careful. Like, you're spending a long time over there.
Yeah.
I want you back over here. Not to say, you know, self-tapes is a thing and stuff, especially now with the pandemic, but it's at the end of the day. No, I would like to say it definitely has been a struggle on being able to present music, at least in a physical capacity. Now, when it comes to a virtual capacity, that's obviously so easy now. It's just anybody can do it. And that's what I was doing all through the pandemic. Everything shifted to online virtual concerts. And now I have a whole Patreon and I post every week with different music stuff. And I'm doing private rehearsals that they get to come watch, all kinds of stuff now that I'm sitting here at this setup, just doing whatever, you know, playing whatever right here. And my concert happens here now. So it's going to be strange getting out of this back onto a stage. I'm really excited. I'm nervous. It's been a while and I haven't done it in a while. And I'm just like, oh my God.
So this will be this week, it'll be your first time on a stage since the pandemic? Since the
pandemic, yes.
Wow. That's exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the first con they're doing since the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there have been, I don't even know if there's been any other European, any at all, period, for the, for the Vampire Diaries. For the Vampire Diaries and the originals. So
yeah.
But yeah, that's one thing again why I've just been so grateful for the conventions, as I was explaining, is they've allowed me a physical area to get to perform. You know, they've really allowed me a platform to show and gain a fan base for music at least. You know, to know that I'm more than just Oliver from the originals, you know.
Yeah. We can just love all the facets of you now. All the facets of Chase
Gordon. That's what I hope for.
Now, you had mentioned self-tape when you had originally, I didn't mean to use that word there, but when you had originally applied to be on the originals, did you have to do a self-tape? Was that in person? Because I've heard that a lot of auditions now are self-tape.
So the first thing is, we as actors, we don't apply. I didn't apply anything. We have agents and reps that are out there pitching, and they're the ones that, if you want to, the word apply means to, like, you know, submit, right? So yeah. my manager submitted me, like, they get breakdowns and they have a lot of breakdowns of all these projects that need actors. So they're like, you know, looking for werewolf type, the originals, blah, 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 you know, has a breakdown. And then he submitted me for it. Mm-hmm. And then they respond to him like, hey, we would love for your actor to put him. So then he tells me, I got an audition for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So then I'm like, oh yeah, cool. And then this was already, I'd already been out for the Vampire Diaries maybe like two times before that.
Okay.
And so, you know, Go Casting, you know, over there, Greg Orson and Leslie over there at Go Casting had already known me, you know, and then they already knew. And then they were even like, when they were talking to me after that, after they offered me that role for Oliver, they were like, you know, we knew you were going to get something. Like, it was just a matter of time of finding something.
Yeah.
That's how it goes most of the time too, by the way. Most of the time that is how it goes. Like, it's not a matter of like, oh my God, I suck or whatever. It's just because they're looking for this very, very, very specific type. Mm-hmm. If you don't check all the boxes, you're probably not going to get it. And it's really hard to check all the boxes. It really is.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of being patient enough and putting in all the effort to where when it is time for you, you are just ready to go. Like, I'm the perfect type. So now my acting ability is there. If they're trying to hire, you know, a musician, for example, right before the pandemic hit, I was working on Young and the Restless.
Mm-hmm. So I saw that.
Right before the pandemic hit, I was had this awesome, fun gig, and it was a musician, this rock star guy. So I was getting to play music, and I'm like, yes. And then the pandemic hit, you know, so it's like, stuff like that, being ready at that time when they, like, when I auditioned for that, you know, when I went to the studio and they sat me down and I talked to all the producers and stuff, and they're like talking about the show and whether or not I wanted to come on. They're like, you know, we really love, and they talked about the conventions and they talked about these appearances, like, we see this guy and you and da, 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 and all this stuff. And it's a matter of just kind of like, you know, it's where you have preparation and opportunity and they all come at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like luck. It's luck because of the timing, but then you have to have all your shit together all the time.
Yeah.
It's like right now, I might have an email and my manager is like, you know, I need you to put this on tape ASAP for Euphoria. I don't know, some giant HBO show. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like right now I gotta be ready to go. So
Yeah. What was your question, Maureen? I think I feel like I kind of like veered off a little bit there.
It was, what was it like when you first auditioned for it, when you first went in there?
So, casting, I went in there. They did. It was only one audition. It was over Thanksgiving. I remember I got the call. It was, I don't know if it was Thanksgiving Day, but it was around Thanksgiving because my parents were visiting here in LA. And I remember getting the call. We're all like in the kitchen, getting the call from my manager at the time. She was like, so, you know, you're being considered for this. And my heart was like, ah! You know, I'm like, okay. And I just hang up the phone. I'm real quiet.
Be cool.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just be cool. And I just remember like, you know, just whispering like, hey, you know, sorry, I'm being considered for this. And I was like, oh, why? That's so great. And then literally like 20 minutes later, you know, like, so they want to offer you this part, blah, blah, blah. But you need to fly out like in 3 days, you know, that's why they were moving so fast. Like, I think this was like a Thursday and we're flying out on a Monday or something.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, you know, I had to fly out Monday and start filming like that Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you got to be ready to film in 4 days. Yeah. You better have all your shit together.
Yeah. Did the originals also film in Atlanta?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I don't think I realized that.
That's what I was referring to earlier when I said that I was in Atlanta a lot and I was back before in Atlanta and I was in Atlanta for long periods of time. It's technically Conyers. Conyers is the small town outside of, and then Covington is where Vampire Diaries is filmed.
Did you use the same set as Vampire Diaries a lot for that or completely different? Okay.
And then we're literally located 5 minutes away from each other.
Did you just like to go out there and hang out and be like, ha, I see you guys? There was a lot of overlap there, wasn't it, when they were filming?
We never there was never a time that I would accidentally, unless we were purposely filming next to each other for something. I did not know, because you know you're like closed off in a set over here, and I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes,
like you're not accidentally, people aren't accidentally wandering on and off and running. It's kind of like controlled.
It would be entertaining though.
Yeah, it would be. I feel like people do that anyway, though. They'll just wander on, you know, wander through the frame.
No, Jeanette has a question, but I just want to ask, are you able to go back to the Young and Restless, even though it happened right before the pandemic? Is that something you're able to
go back to? I didn't die or anything. Yeah, I just went off on a big tour. That's where my character went. He went off
on
a big tour. And so technically he's off touring right now from what I know. I don't keep up with it at this point, but and I'd love to go back.
Okay.
Just, I think, you know, what happened was like we had this whole thing going and then they had to stop. Everything stopped. Mm-hmm. And so the writers and then everything kind of shifted and the storylines shifted, you know, and they just kind of shifted everything.
Yeah.
Luckily, we filmed a lot of stuff that allowed them to kind of part with me at that point in time, you know, because I literally had filmed probably a week before the pandemic hit or something, or 2 weeks, you know, it's like, does that close together?
Yeah.
So in my mind and what everybody else thought, my reps, everybody, we were like, you know, oh, yeah. We'll probably have a few more after this. It'll keep going for a little while longer, you know, because they did say, oh, this will probably be like a 3 to 4 month stint. We're not really sure. It could be longer. But then the pandemic was like cut it all up.
So yeah.
It is what it is. You know, everybody, a lot of people suffered.
Yeah.
Lost all projects, lost everything. So
I
was probably way more fortunate than most others. We all have had our issues, but
yeah.
Here we are now.
And we've been talking about some of the other shows that we do the podcast on, and you can tell that the writers had such a difficult job and having to go from full season to compressing all of that was probably halfway written to one single season or a half a season that's only like 10 in a 10 episode arc instead of 20.
Imagine like what kind of stuff they had to get rid of.
Exactly.
How did they decide to do that? That's hard.
And it's hard to critique those because you have to critique on what you see. But you know that there was more that was supposed to be in there that we just had to miss so they could give us the best they could give us. And I imagine that's difficult for an actor and as a writer to hear the critiques that are coming at people about the seasons that were so short. No, why wasn't it this? Why did they do this? But they couldn't get you more than that. That'd be difficult. Did you have another question, Jeanette?
Yeah. So if you could pick like just any show that's currently running that you would, you know, like to be on, do you have like a favorite show that you would love to be a part of, or maybe just a favorite actor or actress that you'd love to work with?
Yeah, there was Game of Thrones when it was on. I loved.
Who would you play on Game of Thrones?
Well, I would hope to create a new character.
That's true.
You just said, and it's similar to what you just said. It's like, it's hard. You can't compare something. It's like, I'm not going to go play Scarface. You know, I don't want to, like Al Pacino's Scarface. You know, I don't know. Yeah. It's like, I don't want to play Jon Snow. Kit Harington's Jon Snow. He did a great Jon Snow. And I don't want to play Jon Snow because that he cracks me up. I like him. I want to play my own thing. You know what I mean?
But there are some characters from the comics that didn't get in there, though, right?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So I was also going to say shows like the show called The Last Kingdom, Vikings, when it was on, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. I love this epic Viking stuff. Like, I wanted, that's my dream stuff, my dream role stuff, Braveheart style. But also, like, I love Euphoria on HBO.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
I want to be a part of a show that, like, Breaking Bad style show mm-hmm. that's just nitty gritty, dark. It requires, like, this focus of acting that requires the greatest of actors. You know what I mean? Like, you mm-hmm. can't just throw anybody up there. Like, I want to be a part of that. I want to get really deep into, like, some delicious. Boardwalk Empire was kind of like that, but it was just so long ago. I was such a young actor back then, you know. Yeah. But anyways, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's really confused for a minute. It did go a little blurry there for a second.
I'm trying to make it focus. Focus on my face.
Just stand like that for those last 10 minutes of the episode, and then all the fans will just see fangirl over you. Right, and then So we know that you have conventions coming up that you are playing this weekend, and then October, I think, what was it, the 15th?
Yeah, it has it on the website. Maybe not that late. I think it's like, well, maybe. I'll look right now. Yeah, this weekend, 23rd, and then it is the, 15th, you're right, 15th through the 17th.
So I was planning it in my head since you mentioned it.
She's trying to get there.
So you have that coming up. You have your music that's on Amazon. Is there other things that we can discuss that you have coming out that we can let viewers know about, or even if it's music or shows?
Okay. Well, I'm going to be performing I have a brand new single, practically finished. I mean, it's finished and ready to be performed. Like, we've got it ready and produced, and I'm going to be performing it at this show. Full on band, and people have only heard it virtually. Okay. People that have come to my virtual concerts and stuff have gotten to hear it virtually. This will be the first time I'll perform it live. Right after these shows, towards the end of this year, we're going to go into the studio. I'm probably going to crowdfund like a quick thing, and we're going to go into the studio and we're going to like make the track like for real.
Oh,
that's not like just like my other tracks I already have released now. It's called Wild Nights, the new track.
Okay. Ooh, okay.
Very 80s synth feeling, rock feeling, if you like 80s music.
Yes.
And
80s,
then,
90s are our wheelhouse.
I love it. There's definitely, you know, lots of talk and this and that. There's not too much to like, there's not things that have been signed off of yet. There's not confirmed like dates for things, but definitely things that are in the works that I'll probably be able to talk more about next year. Because like at this point, people are still slow moving after the pandemic. It feels like the recovery time for this is going to be a long time. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, the best I can say is just stay tuned. We definitely are on our way back. Like I have a new convention agent I'm working with who is pitching me for a lot of big, who is in talks with a lot of other like international shows as well. You know, Liverpool, you know, Scotland, et cetera.
Like
Ireland, Maine, who knows? Who knows for the future? So all that stuff might happen too. It's up in the air right now.
Okay.
Do you have any like social media that you would like to put out there for people to follow you?
Mm-hmm. All my stuff is at Chase R. Coleman. The only thing that would be different, which is not that big of a deal, if you want to go follow me on YouTube for my live streams, it's mm-hmm. Chase Coleman R, because YouTube sucks. It doesn't let you change it. I don't know why. It's so frustrating. But everything else is Chase R. Coleman. That's Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, which I'm starting to try to do more of now, you know, and everything.
We're going to start throwing your TikTok out in our group.
I'll make one. Yeah.
It's going to be all Chase Coleman TikToks on our account until you start putting your stuff out.
Yeah, it's good. I agree.
We're glad we have your support in that. Tiffany and Jeanette, do you have any other questions for Chase?
That's all I have.
Tiffany, were you writing down all the things that he said?
Yes, I am. I have a whole list here.
We usually have pen and paper during these because inevitably there's always a show we want to watch that you bring up, or a song or something. There's always something. Well, Chase, we had a really, really great time talking with you. We're so thankful that you came on and chatted with us about and gave us a lot of new information, actually. Just really awesome. We're thankful for that. And I hope I'm going to be able to bring our team to Chicago to see you. So that'd be awesome.
That'll be awesome. I hope to see you guys there. I really do.
Yes. And I'm just going to close this out, and then I'll send you this, the clip as soon as, oh, cat.
That's my girl.
These, I would be a cat person if I was allergic, but these are our resident cat girls right here.
Yeah.
So I'll send you that clip, and then I'm just going to close this out, and we'll say goodbye.
Thank you so much, Maureen, Jeanette, and Tiffany. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Fan and Family Chats, this is Chase Coleman. We hope that you had a blast. We hope you learned as much as we learned and had a lot more insight. If you have any questions for us about what Chase is going on, what he has going on, we'll put his social media descriptions and contacts in our podcast description. And you can reach out to us and we'll give you any of that information if you missed it somehow. But we hope you enjoy this and look forward to our next Vampire Diaries podcast episode, which should be coming out soon. On that note, we'll see you in a week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.